Disclaimer. The views and opinions expressed by the participants in this show are not the views of AnimeNewsNetwork.com. Also, this week, I didn't have time to really edit the audio, so you're going to hear some pauses, stuff you don't normally hear, maybe a burp, perhaps a false start or two. Not that big a deal. You'll live. I hope you enjoy the show. Regardless, I think you will. Hey everybody, welcome to Ancast. I'm Zach Birchie. My guest this week is the author and editor of the site Task Force Moe, which you can find at sheslostcontrol.net. Regular on our forums, at least when he's got a bone to pick with me, I guess. It's Chris Houghton. Chris, thanks for coming on the program. I'm excited to have this conversation with you.
Thanks for having me. I'm also very excited to have this conversation.
Okay. So, people, I don't say this to diminish your site or anything, but I would imagine our listeners may not be familiar with you or your site. Could you describe the site and your particular perspective on Moe?
So, basically, what Task Force Moe is it's sort of a... challenge to, so, because I, back in the day, I saw a lot of anti-Moe sentiment going around the anime blogosphere, and not so much pro-Moe sentiment, not as strongly as the anti-Moe sentiment coming on. And so I started Task Force Moe as sort of a challenge to see how well these people hold up when there's now a really, really militant pro-Moe presence.
Right. So the idea was, so are the views then on the site exaggerated for effect, or is it, because it sounds like you're sort of fighting back against at least a perceived, you call it anti-Moe sentiment. So is the language on the site intentionally sort of incendiary and using... I noticed you use a lot of really heavy, like, military and political language on the site.
Everything about the site, the Moe military sort of aesthetic, the language, that's all deliberate. That's all a deliberate, not so much an act, but it's a deliberate motif to kind of light a fire It's deliberately incendiary, but the stuff I write, the actual ideas behind it, those are genuine.
Okay, right. So it's intentionally provocative, but it is how you really feel.
Yes.
Okay, so not dealing with some sort of elaborate joke here or anything. It's for realsies. So please describe your perspective on Moe so people can understand where you're coming from right at the outset. And tell us, I guess, first how you got into this type of anime and then how you came to be so... I guess, personally involved with it.
Well, I guess the first quote-unquote Moe anime that I watched was Tenchi Muyo, back when that was on Toonami. Mm-hmm. And everyone else was watching all the Gundam Wing and the Robotech and all that, I was watching that too, but Tenchi Muyo was like, that was the show for me. That was the show that I rushed home every afternoon to catch, and I was really the only guy doing that at the time, and it wasn't like people were making fun of me about it, but it was just, I felt like I was sort of alone and enjoying the show. And so fast forward a long time, I'm still really enjoying that kind of anime, this sort of cute girls, love themes, all that kind of stuff, while a lot of my peers would still enjoying all the action stuff, and I was enjoying that stuff too, but I was sort of still the only guy who was enjoying all this romance, Moe, ecchi stuff. And now fast forward to a couple of years ago when I entered the blogosphere, and I find that there not only is there still this sort of disconnect between the people who like the action stuff and all that, but there is this hostility towards people who like this moe ecchi stuff. And sort of, I saw that and I was wondering why. Why be nasty to people who just like different cartoons than you? So that's sort of how I got involved in the whole moe debate. As far as my relationship with moe, I think it has, there are different facets to moe, but it all comes down to a feeling. It comes down to an emotion that you feel when you see this character that appeals to you. And from that, you get a series of tropes that are built to make this emotion in people. You get an aesthetic, you get a type of appeal.
Sure, that's pretty broad, though. I mean, that's a pretty broad definition. I mean, I think maybe some adjectives to describe the emotion that you are feeling is probably in order here, because you can't really start a conversation about moe without being fairly specific in your personal definition of it, because you know what I'm talking about. Like, everybody kind of defines it differently. And that's been the fuel for, you know, countless arguments about what moe really is and what it actually means. But I think, you know, since this conversation is specifically about your writing and your perspective on it, we need to know, I think, what exactly moe is to you. Like, what are those feelings?
I think that the first word that comes to mind when I think of what I feel when I see moe is euphoric. It's a very, very good feeling when I see, like, say, a character from Clannad, any character from Clannad. They're all moe to me, and I feel it makes me feel good. It lifts my spirits when I see these characters. Euphoric is the word I would use to describe moe.
Interesting. Is it sort of a romantic euphoria? Is it like what? It just makes you happy. It just lifts your spirits. Does it make you, do you have sort of romantic feelings towards these characters, or is it literally just their little anime faces just really make you happy?
To a certain extent, it is romantic. Different characters are at different levels, but it is a little bit romantic.
Right, okay. Okay, so that's, when you watch an anime that has female characters that appeal to you, in that level, that's the feeling that it gives you. Now, when you watch a show, are there, like, do you rate, because most of these shows have like five or six girls in them, so do you like pick your favorite, is that, and then you're more moe towards her, but then you can you also be moe towards other girls in the cast? Is that how that works?
Oh yeah, it's entirely possible. But most shows, there are characters that appeal to me more than other characters, but the really good shows, the characters pretty much appeal to me all at the same level.
Okay, and you mentioned Clannad. It'd be great to get some other examples of shows that you think are sort of perfect examples of great moe anime.
Clannad, Strike Witches is another one.
Mm-hmm.
I think, not so much a moe anime, but as in it has characters that I think are moe that basically appeal to me at the same level as Martian Successor Nadesco.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But you wouldn't call... So that's interesting. So you wouldn't call... I mean, I don't think anyone would call Martian Successor Nadesco a moe anime.
No.
I don't think anyone would call it that. But it's possible. I would assume you're talking about Rudy Hoshino, right?
Rudy Hoshino. Damn it, I'm forgetting the name.
It's been a while. The show's kind of old.
Yeah, it has.
But I mean, so you can have really strong moe feelings for that character, but the show itself is not just about that for you.
Right, and same thing with Eva, because I'm hella moe for Asuka.
Okay. All right. Okay. Well, I think that gives us a good perspective. So, what we should explain what sort of spurned this entire conversation in the first place is. in the most recent spring preview guide. And you've come at me before. Not the first time you've come at me. But basically, what sort of spring this conversation is, during the spring preview guide, we were getting into the whole of fandom was kind of getting into it about the new show Flowers of Evil. And so that discussion was happening. I had also written a preview of a show called Date Alive, which had what I thought was an innocent masturbation joke in it. I thought it was really tame. I basically said, this is the kind of show where you're either going to ignore it, watch it ironically, or furiously beat off to it. I think that was the language that I used, which sparked a flame war in the forum thread about how much I apparently hate Moe fans or want to insult them as a whole or whatever. And you basically said, and you've said this before, like, why am I not willing to have this conversation? Why am I not willing to get into it with you guys? And I got to be honest, like, the real explanation for that is I would rather have that discussion here in this kind of forum than having to sit on the forums and type everything out and really get into it. Because that is my job, and I have to police those forums, and I got a lot of work to do during the day, so that's not necessarily the place where I really want to get into it, but you seemed genuinely interested in having a real dialogue with me, and I was familiar with your site, which is the most incendiary, sort of provocative pro-Moe site out there, I would say.
I'll take that as a compliment.
It certainly gets people's attention. You know, it's not like people don't check it out. It's
and you know, that's the point.
Right, exactly.
The reason I write that way is because for every 100 people who go on this site and say, oh, this is ridiculous, this guy is crazy, there's going to be one or two that read my stuff and actually get something from it. And that's what I write for, those one or two people.
How do you react to people telling you that you're crazy?
I laugh at it because I think it's obvious. I think I'm the most obvious guy with this site that has girls with guns all over the place. I'm talking like I'm some sort of political pundit on TV about cartoons about little girls. I think I'm crazy doing this, but it's fun and I like it. And I think I like to think I'm doing a service to the anime community by talking about this stuff, because I don't think it's talked about nearly as often as it should be.
Well, the language you use makes it suggests that this to you, this is the biggest issue in anime fandom right now, is people who don't care for the Moe stuff sort of trashing it. Or you know, worse, insulting the people who do like that stuff versus the people who, I mean, I refer to it as almost like a lifestyle choice. It seems so intensely personal, and like it seems like it's such a huge part of someone's identity. You specifically, like, it seems like this stuff, your love of this material is a huge part of your personal identity.
I wouldn't say it's part of my personal identity. I if you asked me what I am, my first thing to say wouldn't be I'm a Moe fan. But I think that
would otaku be that? Would you
otaku? I would describe myself as an otaku, but not first. That's not the first thing that would come to mind.
Human being maybe first.
Probably.
Yeah. Right.
But the reason I'm so hard up on having this conversation about Moe is because I think it taps into a lot of conversations that need to be had about anime, what we make of this medium that's from a completely different country and completely different culture, and how we enjoy it and how different people enjoy it and how we interact with different people who enjoy the same thing in a different way.
Well, and that's okay. So here's where kind of I'm coming from on this, and we can get into the actual Moe stuff, but kind of first I want to talk about the identity politics of it, because I think that's a huge part of this, and arguably maybe a little bit more important than the content itself. To me, I find it strange that someone takes such great offense to someone simply criticizing a TV show that they don't enjoy for having, at this point, very predictable elements. These are, this isn't a fresh observation. A lot of these shows are made with what feels like a checklist. It's, you got to have this kind of girl, you got to have this kind of girl, you got to have this kind of girl, they got to act in this way, this way, this way, this way. And just simply criticizing that for being kind of creatively bankrupt seems to really send a lot of people over the edge. And people take it extremely personally, as though if I say this show is kind of pandering crap with nothing new to say, and it's just giving people who are into this kind of thing a group of new imaginary girlfriends to beat off to, I feel like that's not really that incendiary. That's not really that big a deal, but it will incite people to just go off the deep end. And you, to your credit, like, you've never actually really, like, just come at me with guns blazing. You've generally been fairly polite about it, to an extent.
To an extent.
I guess that's sort of my question for you. Why does the criticism of that material bother you so much?
It's not so much that the criticism of the material bothers me, but I think that sometimes people look at moe from not so much the wrong perspective, but from a perspective that is kind of predisposed to make certain judgments about moe.
Right. And more importantly, I think in your mind, at least from what I understand of you, more importantly, the people who enjoy that material.
Yes.
And that's sort of what you're trying to fight against, is people who, and understandably so, I think this is understandable, people like myself, and I've given into that occasionally, where I will talk about a show and then also mention the audience for it. And all I have to do is mention who I think the audience for it is, and it sends people into a tizzy. And it sounds like maybe that's where a lot of your frustration is maybe coming from.
Yes, my main frustration is the hostility and the bias towards moe fans within at least the Western fan base.
Okay, and do you think that people who don't like the moe material, who write about it or are in positions where they have a louder voice, like myself, or, you know, guests on this podcast like Daryl Surratt or those people, do you feel like they're in a majority position or somehow influential on a level that moe fans who are particularly invested in that as a facet of their entertainment are not?
I believe that there are more anti-moe people in higher positions within the anime community than there are pro-moe people within higher positions of the anime community.
Why do you think that is?
From what a lot of what I hear from people in those high positions, not always has anti-moe sentiment, but I hear a lot more anti-moe sentiment from those people who are high up in the anime community, these opinion leaders in the anime community, than I hear pro-moe sentiment from people in similar positions.
Right. Okay. I guess I would counter that with, and this is just my personal experience with it, and this is my perspective on it. I would argue that while someone like me or someone like Daryl, we certainly have our modest level of influence, and we're visible. I'm not tooting my own horn. That's just, you know, what I write tends to be visible.
Right.
If it weren't, I wouldn't be getting paid to do it. I would say that if either of us, or, you know, anyone in my position, any of these people that you're generally referring to, says something that is against what seems to be the popular hardcore opinion, we get nothing but shit for it. and the forums explode, and it is one opinion. It is straight down the line identifiable as the, and I think I joked around about it in the spring preview thread. I called it the Grand High Otaku Council. They have decreed you are not allowed to like this show, or you have to like this show, and if you disagree with either of those, we're going to make your life a living hell on your forums, and on Twitter and in social media. That, to me, seems like that voice is extremely... I hear it constantly. So to me, saying that somehow that voice is being muffled or isn't as powerful or isn't being heard, that's absurd to me. Like, I know exactly what the hardcore otaku opinion is because it is screamed in my face the minute I disagree with it.
I would agree to that. I would agree with that was to a certain extent. I think that, though, all right, would you agree with me that the role of a critic in any form of media is to not only evaluate a work of art, but to also create a discussion around his or her opinion?
I think the latter is much more important now than it ever was in the past. And I agree with both of those things, but I think the latter is actually even more important now.
And I would certainly agree with that as well. What I think is the issue is that people focus on the former of that, and they don't form their own opinion and have a discussion based on the opinion of a critic. They just take the opinion of a critic and take that as what said critic claims to be gospel, and instead of taking their own opinion and having a discussion with that, they bitch and moan because they're being disagreed with. And I think that's the problem you're seeing there. Not so much that these people have a majority opinion when they might, but I think the problem you're seeing is that there's a disconnect between what a critic's role actually is and what these people think a critic's role is.
Right. I mean, so maybe I'm not parsing you correctly here, but so are you basically saying, like, you're concerned that someone's going to take a critic's opinion as gospel and not experience the work for themselves and just repeat what the critic said and then that's it?
Yes.
And then that's going to create this overall negative perception of this very specific genre material that you personally identify with.
Yes.
Okay. See, so I guess I would counter that with, like, we can look at what happened with Flowers of Evil as a really good example of what happens when it goes the other way, where I'm literally arguing with people who are just buying into the hive mindset, and I hate to use that term, but it's true. It's this mob mentality where they're literally basing their opinion on screenshots, screen caps. And because some forum on 4chan decided they hate this, it turns into this huge mob, and then I have to fight against an opinion, or not fight against, argue against, or I'm challenged by an opinion that is literally being told to me by people who have not actually watched the show. Like, in person. So it kind of goes, ironically, it totally goes both ways on this one, I think.
I would agree with you there, actually. The whole mob mentality where people judge a show based on what people say on 4chan, especially, that's very unhealthy. That's unhealthy to a discussion, and it's unhealthy to the community as a whole.
Yeah, so I guess on both sides, like, that's, like, we both, you and I can agree that you should always experience something for yourself.
Yes.
I've always felt that. Even as somebody who trades in criticism, you know, I publish 10-something reviewers on Anime News Network every day. You should always experience something for yourself. Like, reading criticism and engaging with the material on a larger level, engaging in discussion about that material and reading somebody else's opinion about it, that's all great. That means you're a fan of entertainment and you want to engage with it on a broader level than just mindless consumption. But you should always experience for yourself.
Of course.
Like, I would never say, like, it has never been my attitude, nor the attitude of anyone I know writing professionally, ever. And I've worked with just about everyone who writes professionally No one thinks that their opinion is monolithic. And I've never thought, listen to me, don't watch the show. That's never what I'm saying. I never have thought that. And I'm wondering if you knew that or had an inkling of that, that critics don't think you shouldn't watch the movie. They're just sharing their opinion of it.
No, I completely understand that. And as an anime reviewer myself, I always encourage people, watch it. Don't listen to me, but if you want my opinion on it, sure. But watch it for yourself if you really want to get the full experience.
Okay.
And to a certain extent, that also happens with Task Force Moe. Because in the days leading up to this, I had several people telling me or accusing me of speaking for the Moe fandom. And that's something I don't do. I do not speak for the entire Moe fandom. And what I really think that's indicative of a larger problem within the Moe fandom, that people aren't willing to step up and say, I like this stuff, let's talk about it. That when it falls on me to quote-unquote represent the Moe fandom, when that's not what I set out to do ever, and I don't believe I ever, ever claim to speak for the Moe fandom.
No, you're speaking for yourself and your opinions, and you have a byline on all of your articles. There's no mistaking, you're representing yourself. That's,
yes.
And that's it. It's just that you happen to be a passionate and vocal critic of the whole thing, and so, you know, we're having this conversation with you.
Yeah. So I'm a passionate and vocal writer within a fandom of people who are passionate but not vocal, and I think that's the issue there.
So continuing down the line of identity politics, one of the things that totally confounds me, and I see this a lot in your writing, and you can tell me if I'm being unfair here, a lot of it seems like really it's a personal identity thing, and there's a theme of somehow, because I don't like Moe in as a general rule, if there's heavy Moe elements in something, and that's kind of what the show's about, I'm not going to be all that interested in it. I did list in my top 10 of the 2000s, I listed Spice and Wolf in there and said that I thought actually the Moe elements in that show actually kind of worked for me. So it's not like I hate it as a concept or anything like that, but
right.
If the show, it just seems like it's this, hey, you guys buy this stuff, here it is, like I'm not going to give it a pass. But the concept that somehow expressing that opinion is oppressing or silencing or somehow keeping someone like you down, that I do not understand. And I've literally been compared to a racist. And to me, all it is you like a certain type of TV show. And so the heightened rhetoric around all of this is absolutely absurd to me. And I assume you know what I'm talking about. The language gets out of control.
It's not so much that people are not liking Moe or not wanting to watch it. It's people saying that it's fetishistic, it's pedophilic, it's killing the anime industry, it's a suicidal business model. That kind of language is what gets to me as far as people not liking Moe as a concept goes.
Well, those two things are very different. Now, I would not argue that Moe in and of itself is somehow pedophilia. That's ridiculous. That's reactionary stuff that you get from someone who I think, like, if someone said that to me, I would say, no, I'm the last person in the world to defend this stuff. I would say that's totally wrong. That's a completely inaccurate reading of what it really is. However, fetishistic, yes, it totally is. Absolutely it is. And there's nothing wrong with that, but it is a fetish thing. I guess you would disagree with that.
I would disagree with that. I think that there is appeal. Not all of it is sexual. Some of it is sexual. But right. To call Moe as a overarching element fetishistic, I think is inaccurate. I think it's a misrepresentation of what Moe is.
And so where do you think, so one of the biggest things that comes that gets thrown around is the term persecution complex, which I throw out a lot. And largely it's because I get tired of people telling me that somehow I am oppressing them because I made a joke about the fact that people beat off to these shows. Where do you think that comes from? Do you feel those feelings? Do you feel like me saying someone's either ignoring this or beating off to it? Is it personal insult to you that I'm trying to diminish or otherwise disrespect or disenfranchise you as a fan?
No, not personally. I know it's not personal. My problem is when specifically people down on a fan base based on their preference for a certain kind of anime.
It just in general, you don't like to see the audience even mentioned.
The audience mentioned. I'm on the fence about, but certainly not portrayed in a negative light.
Okay, that's interesting. So tell me then how you feel about this. I watch a lot of crappy reality TV. Crappy reality TV is for dummies. I know that. I can occasionally be a dummy and have very simplistic and dumb tastes and things. I don't take personal offense when someone says the only people who watch, I don't know, The Real Housewives of Atlanta are shallow idiots. I don't take personal offense to that because I know I'm not a shallow idiot. It's shallow and idiotic for me to watch that show, but I'm not a shallow idiot, so I don't take personal offense to it. I guess I don't really understand why people can't necessarily separate themselves from the criticism of the show and who it seems to be for.
All right, but what if you don't think it's shallow and idiotic to watch reality TV?
Well, that sounds really shallow and idiotic.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, what if you see value in this stuff? What if you...
Well, there is value. There's entertainment value. I get immense entertainment out of it. That's the value. It's entertaining. It's fun to watch. That's it, though. That's it. And it's not like I define myself based on the fact that I really love watching The Real Housewives.
Right. But what I'm saying is, going with Moe, the value for this stuff is it's entertaining. It's also it can also affect you emotionally. It has the people who like this stuff really like this stuff. And when someone comes along and says, "Oh, you're just jerking off to this stuff," I feel like it misrepresents the fan base of a particular type of anime, and these people are they're being misrepresented.
So the emotions are really genuine and sincere. Yes. And it's not a joke. It's really sincere, and you take it very seriously and don't appreciate it when someone even... It appears to be that you don't really appreciate it when someone even jokes about it. Like, it's not even funny to joke about it. Like, the emotions are that real and sincere.
I think that it depends on the joke.
Well, what...
On the joke and how the joke is delivered.
So, when the joke you feel is mean-spirited or intended to be hurtful, that's when it stops being okay.
Yes.
So,
to a certain extent, it's difficult to intone a joke through text.
Sure.
At least it's not as easy to do it as if you were speaking it.
Oh, well, you're absolutely right. Well, you know, therein lies the biggest communication problem on the internet, because it's all text.
I keep saying there needs to be a sarcasm font.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're totally right. I guess the problem for me is that when I make those jokes, they are just jokes, but there is a kernel. To me, there's a big kernel of truth in there. I personally do think that the chief appeal of Moe does appear to be sexual. It is a. It seems to me to be escapism for people who may have problems with real life romance. That's kind of what it seems like to me up front. Now, don't get me wrong. That's not everybody who's into this stuff.
Right.
Not all Moe fans are using it as sort of an escape from having to deal with real people. But that culture just seems, it seems so ingrained. I guess what I'm really asking here is, do you understand how someone like me could come to that conclusion?
I understand how you could come to that conclusion.
But it's
I just think it's wrong.
Okay. So I guess enlighten me then.
I will agree with you that a lot of Moe seems to be, a lot of Moe is sort of a surrogate girlfriend.
Right.
But I would not agree that the basis for that is sexual.
So those,
it's more having a connection to a person, having intimacy, not necessarily sexual, with a person. And that's where some of these people have their problem. They're not able to connect with people.
Do you think that the attitude that it must be sexual is cynical?
To a certain extent, yes.
Okay.
I believe it's cynical, but I believe that I believe it's cynical.
Okay, so you would attest to the relative purity of some of these feelings, and that it's not always, I'm fantasizing about this girl being my girlfriend, but we don't, I guess to me there's a total disconnect there, because That's a huge logical disconnect where it's like, oh, I'm fantasizing about this girl being my girlfriend, but it's not sexual. Well, then what? Like, huh?
there are ways to be close and intimate with people without having sex.
Sure, but that seems more like friendship. Like, that's not romance.
I think that you can have romance without sex. I will 100% say that all day and all night. Romance can occur without sex.
You're a much more enlightened man than I guess. inherently, I think it eventually it's going to go there. I mean, isn't that sort of the culmination in some ways? Like that's why they call it consummating a relationship.
But in some ways, yes, but it's possible. Like not every visual novel ends with bedding down with the heroine. Some of them are all ages. Some of them don't have any sex scenes at all.
Sure, but that's a fantasy, though, because if you were dating someone, let's say like you met a girl in real life who had these qualities that you were looking for, and you dated her, and you were like, oh, that's not a sexual thing. I mean, that relationship, to me, that's not functional. That's not a real thing. That's a total fantasy.
Well, of course it's a fantasy.
Okay.
I won't deny that for a second.
So, going back to my original point about escapism, so this is a through line here. Eventually, it's just escapism. It's not... it's sort of a way to, I guess, cope with... Well, okay, to make this point a little clearer. If you're diving into the Moe stuff to cope with the fact that real human relationships are a little bit of a mystery or difficult for someone, does the escapism factor... Does that factor into the whole, like, oh, it's a relationship, but it's not sexual?
To a certain extent, yes. Okay. The escapism does factor into it.
Okay.
Then again, not like you said, not every person who indulges in Moe has issues with human relationships in real life.
Sure, I will give you that. However, I have noticed in my time, and I've been doing this a long time, and Moe's been around for quite a while now. I have noticed that I've seen a lot of hardcore Moe fans, once they get into a real relationship, they drop the Moe stuff completely.
I haven't seen that happen. Hasn't happened to me, certainly.
Right. I've seen it happen.
I'm just saying, sometimes it doesn't happen.
Okay, right. Of course, sometimes. I mean, we can't make generalizations here, but at the same time, it's important to, like, at least point out instances where, you know, I've seen this happen a lot, and so that leads to my suspicion that, oh, this is a substitute for real relationships, and the minute someone actually has a successful or functional relationship, they drop that moe shit like a bad habit. At least that's what I've noticed. Sounds like your experience is different.
And my experience is different.
Okay. Okay. That's very interesting. So that's kind of where, I guess that's kind of where I'm coming from. And when I look at these shows, and it's a harem of girls, and there's six girls, and it's a checklist. This one has pigtails, this one has glasses, and she's shy. This one has big tits, and she's clumsy. This one has, I don't know, a flat chest, and she's whatever. Like, it's just this checklist of stuff. Unless the story is super compelling, I'm like, okay, this is more beat-off material for, you know, this particular crowd that buys this stuff in droves. I look at that stuff as being incredibly cynical, incredibly cynically produced. And that is my chief criticism of it. And I guess the audience kind of does factor into that, where I know it's being produced for this specific audience, so I kind of dismiss it. And it sounds to me like, from your perspective, that's really unfair.
I think it is unfair. I don't think these shows are cynically produced at all. And to be truthful, I think that's insulting to the people who produce these shows. Because a lot of these people really, really love being an anime producer and making this media for other anime fans. And I think it's really dismissive to say that these people produce these shows cynically.
Well, but anime is a business.
Oh, of course. I won't disagree with that for a second.
And would you say that there's no such thing as American television that's produced cynically?
I'd say, you know what? To a certain extent, you have to have a passion for what you're doing.
Sure, I'll agree.
And
with
I think
you on
that saying something is produced cynically dismisses that passion.
So, do you feel like generally, no matter how, even if the show's terrible, there was no one on the production staff that literally said, "Like, look, they're going to buy this. You make this," and then the people working on it. And anime is a work for hire business. It's not produced in the same way that a lot of American stuff is produced. It's all work for hire. So they get someone who they know can do the job. They bring them on. The story's already there. They produce the anime. Would you say that that literally, like, it can't be produced cynically? Like, there's no one up higher up on the chain that's dictating to these creatives who they have hired to produce this show for them, that at no point in that process line is there a cynical, we know they're going to buy this, so make this.
I think between you and I, the disconnect here is you seem to be operating at a higher level on a higher level of the anime production. What I'm specifically talking about is the animators themselves, who we know they don't get paid very much, but they are still in this industry because they love to do it.
Right. But I mean, the people who actually animate the show, I mean, they're not involved in writing the story or anything.
I know. But I'm saying that
you're saying that the people on the actual creative production staff generally are not cynical about what they're producing.
That's what my judgment would be, yes.
Okay, but you could understand that maybe the production committee controlling those people perhaps is.
Yes.
And that really does impact the product that they're making, and it is a product. Okay. Well, then we can have that understanding, I guess, at least. So I guess I wanted you have, I assume you have questions for me.
I guess the first thing I want to talk about is this, the idea of checklist mentality.
Yeah.
You mentioned that shows created with a checklist of, okay, this, and the otaku will like it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really think that's how moe fans operate. I really don't.
Well, then how would you explain the ubiquity of popular character types? I mean, these people literally categorize personalities into little boxes. So you have tsundere, yandere. Like, that wouldn't exist if it weren't a checklist.
I think that's a basic human function, that we categorize things because we're humans and because it makes it easier to think about those things.
You don't think that that's... I mean, the moe characters are generally not known for their deep complexity. Generally, it's one or two character traits, and that's about it. Has glasses, is shy. Maybe has tragic past. That's about it. And maybe that's unfair. Maybe you think that's a totally shitty, unfair thing to say.
I think that at its very basic level, you could say that. But if you're talking about show, I think shows like Clannad, the characters are very, not very deep, not like Evangelion deep, but they are deep. They have some kind of, they have their distinctions. They have their little personality quirks, and they have their all their backstories. But what I'm specifically talking about is when you say that, okay, a show had, okay, take for example me. I'm really into girls with guns, Yamato Nadeshiko character types, maids, all that. Mm-hmm. So take girls with guns. I like Strike Witches. I love Dopate. I love Gunslinger Girl.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not gonna be indicative of what I actually enjoy, because the show still has to be good past that. And I think that this whole checklist mentality thing, when talking about moe and moe fans, skips over the actual quality of the show past just having these particular tropes.
I see. So, no, I understand what you're saying. I get you. Basically, like, yeah, I like girls with guns. It can't just be any shitty old thing with girls with guns in it. I'm not just going to automatically open my wallet for anything with girls with guns. It's got to be good. It's got to be...
Precisely.
It's got to have a story. These characters have to be fleshed out. I want some qualities. I want some quality writing, basically.
And I even want quality in the girls with guns trope.
Right.
For example, I loved Gunslinger Girl, but I hated Gunslinger Girl Il Totrino, because the art style took a considerable dip. The guns don't even sound right. And it was just... that's what I'm looking for.
Right, sure. Hey, sure. I get it. No, that's interesting, and I totally see what you're saying here. So basically, like, when I say, like, oh, it's just a checklist, it's just, oh, it's got a girl who's kind of mean and has ponytails, otaku, you're going to eat this up, you're basically saying, no, it's great that she's mean and has ponytails, and I like that, but there's got to be a story, there's got to be some characters, something has to be happening, it's got to be at least kind of well-written, like... Some thought has to have been put in it beyond just, hey, you could like girls with pigtails who are shitty. Like, it's got to be more than that.
Exactly.
Okay. I see what you're saying. I see how that could be considered, like, you take that as me saying you're kind of a dummy who will just sort of pony up for whatever has this one thing on it.
Like, right. It's the insistence that moe otaku are a lower level of fan, in so many words.
Well, I wouldn't necessarily say lower level. I would say I think the insistence that they tend to be shallow is what you're sort of fighting against.
Yes, that would be more accurate.
Right. And I can't help but look at the response to something like Flowers of Evil and say, yeah, kind of shallow. that whole response to that show made me double down on the fact that, wow, you guys are shallow. Like, you're literally complaining that she's not cute enough. But they're trying something different and new, and you may not like it, and that's totally valid. But to literally complain, but she's cute in the comics, but not cute in the show, really, that's all that matters, is that she's cute?
Like, yeah, I'd agree with you on that sentiment. The reason I dislike Flowers of Evil is not because they're cute, and I would completely disagree with saying that it's a bad show because she's not cute. It's just a different show. It might not be a particular person's cup of tea, but it's just different. And take with that what you will. I personally don't think being different is really warrants any kind of praise unless it's really good. Mm-hmm. But that it's just different.
Right. Yeah. But you can see how it sort of feeds into this perception that, man, you guys are shallow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even though, like, I get what you're saying, and then, like, you know, and to be, you know, we could probably agree on this. One of the biggest, pieces of evidence that the whole, like, quality is king among everyone, among me, among you, among any kind of anime fan, is the fact that the cream really does rise to the top. So, you know, a couple years ago we had Madoka Magica, right? And I gave that show, I was gushing about that show for months during the DVD release. And everybody gushed about that show. I don't know a person who had even a mild, you know, or sort of neutral response to it. But that has Moe character designs, for sure. It's totally designed to be, you know, to sell action figures and and make people feel, I guess, Moe for those characters. But that show has exceptional writing.
Yeah.
And so everybody can get behind it.
And what's hilarious is I've seen people express the sentiment that Madoka Magica is not Moe. And what it basically boiled down to is it's not Moe because I like it. And
yeah,
I've seen that a lot, and I think it's hilarious.
Which is silly. I don't think it trades in Moe stereotypes or cliches as much as a lot of other shows like it with similar character designs. I don't think it does that. But yeah, to say that, oh, this has no Moe elements in it because I think it's good, that's silly.
Yeah.
Totally silly. So yeah, that's common ground, and quality is king among all, like or above all, quality is king, and I think that's a point of understanding that maybe we can come to here, where it's like it's not fair for me to say, whatever dumb checklist show, it's got this in it, you're gonna like it, just as much as it's not fair for you to tell me, I only dislike this because it has Moe elements in it,
right.
That maybe I dislike it because the writing is shit. Like, Date Alive. Which was just awful. But
what's hilarious is the extent to which I'm involved with Date Alive basically stops at where I called you out on that joke.
Right.
I haven't even watched it.
Yeah.
I have no real interest in watching it either.
Right. So the other thing I definitely wanted to address here, is the notion that you appear to think that I hate Moe and Ecchi anime fans. Moe and Ecchi anime fans. You think I hate them.
I don't think you hate them. I think that you have a bias against them.
Okay. I don't, okay, well, okay. You're right, I don't hate them. I don't have hate in my heart for these people. I really don't. Biased against them, I cringe at the word bias because people use it to basically tell someone you have an opinion. You have your own biases.
Right.
But it's just your opinions on things. You have an outlook. You have a perspective. That's all it is. No one goes into anything totally neutral or objective. It's just not how people are.
Of course.
But I do think that I've been told so many times that some crappy, etchy show is actually really smart and deep if I just thought about it this way, and that's almost never the case. It seems to be this sort of fairly craven obsession with, I think the girls in the show are really hot, and so I'm going to defend the crappy storytelling based on that. And I don't want to be told that I only like the show for the hot girls, because that would make me sound shallow. So I'm going to defend the crappy storytelling otherwise. I've seen that happen over and over and over and over again. And a lot of my peers have seen that happen over and over and over again. And do you think that that's not what's happening? Do you think that they're legitimately defending really great storytelling? Or are they defending this sort of internalized, I really like shows with cute girls in them, and it feels like you're attacking me for liking shows with cute girls in them?
No, I don't think they're defending the shitty storytelling. I'll admit, a lot of ecchi anime are not the best at storytelling.
Right.
But to a certain extent, I think that they perceive this sort of... Because very often, especially on the preview guide,
mm-hmm.
you will... Basically, you'll down on ecchi and ecchi fans, and I think that they perceive some sort of hostility from that. And this isn't me, but this is what I think is going through their heads.
Right.
And so it's not that they're defending the shows, but they're defending what they perceive as a slight against them and their fandom. And they're doing that by way of defending the show.
Okay. I guess to me, that seems a little overly defensive. Like, it seems pretty... It just seems very sensitive. It seems like you're very, very sensitive about the type of entertainment that you consume. Not you specifically, but
right.
those people. They always strike me as being just ludicrously sensitive when anyone says anything bad about some ecchi show. And I see it as like, why are you taking this as a personal attack? This show just seems like it's beat-off material. And there's nothing necessarily wrong with that, but I'm not going to critique it as a piece of art. It's meant to just be beaten off to. That's it. It's kind of like how we don't do porn reviews on Anime News Network. Like, we don't review hentai. What do you say about hentai? How do you critique it? You can't. The only source of value is whether or not you can beat off to it. That's it.
I review hentai.
Okay. Well, from what perspective?
Mostly from an artistic perspective. I go through for a hentai manga, for example, how well it's drawn, what kind, like the proportions, how the women are drawn, all that kind of stuff. I don't want to get into the particulars of this panel because they're within this podcast because they're really dirty, but
sure.
I go through all that kind of stuff. The content, and it's not so much to evaluate it as a product, but I just like looking at the way these things are drawn and the all kinds of different art styles. And I think that it's really unfair to not judge a particular work as not judge it as art just based on whether or not it's jack-off material.
So, okay, of course there can be art in erotica. Of course there can. There can be art that's worth discussing and critiquing that's also erotic. I wouldn't disagree with you on that one at all, obviously. To say that would be so empty-headed and have a lack of understanding of what art has been for the last hundreds of years.
Right.
But in the same way that I wouldn't watch just straight-up live-action porn and say, they really built the character of the pizza man. You know, like, the purpose of that is to get someone off. That's it. So critiquing it on that level seems, because everything you're just saying, like quality of the art, storytelling, character building, all of that in something like that is in service of someone getting serviced, I guess. Like that's that's what it's. Do you get my argument here? Like,
I get what you're saying.
When
but
you boil
I'm
it down,
firm, go ahead.
Well, I'm just saying, when you boil it down, that's the purpose of that piece of material. It's like the car is supposed to drive, the burger is supposed to be tasty, the porn is supposed to get you off. Like, that's kind of it. It's not particularly complicated as a piece of work. So going really deep into it, no pun intended, is really kind of a waste of time for an art critic, I think.
I get what you're saying, but I'm of the firm belief that all art deserves legitimate criticism. All art deserves a fair shake. No matter what it's what it is, no matter what it's in service of, all art deserves to be looked at as art.
Well, so then why the focus so much on, do you just feel like erotic stuff just gets a bad shake? It's not getting a fair treatment.
I don't think it gets attention from. I just don't think it gets the attention that it deserves as far as being looked at as a work of art.
Well, okay, so I guess then I would say, like, name some stuff that you think deserves to be looked at as legitimate art that is also ecchi or even hentai.
There's an Arrow manga called A Strange Kind of Woman.
Okay.
I love the designs in that. I love the way the characters are drawn. The storyline, of course, it leaves stuff to be desired because it's porn, but I just love the entire way it's presented. And I think it's really, really, really easy on the eyes. As far as ecchi goes, I think that there's an anime called Ladies vs. Butlers. Mm-hmm. The character designs in that in particular, I feel are there. You don't see that kind of thing a lot, but the women are curvy, you know? Like, that's not something you really see as much in anime. Not to the degree Ladies vs. Butlers does it. And these are just a couple of examples of stuff that I think has artistic merit in stuff that's essentially not jack up to in the sense of Ladies versus Butlers, but stuff that's meant to arouse.
Okay, so you're seeing real artistic beauty in, you're seeing aesthetic beauty in something that normally would just be dismissed as, okay, you're supposed to beat off to this and that's it.
Yes.
What about all the, because this is film, this is television, it is a storytelling medium. What about the writing? Because I like a lot of beautiful movies that, like, okay, so, like, I'm a big fan of, like, Tarsem Singh, who directed, like, The Fall and The Cell. And those aren't good movies, but they're really pretty. And I would recommend them to people who are really big fans of, like, that particular type of artistic aesthetic. It's a little abstract. It's a little weird. But it's very, very pretty. I wouldn't, however, praise those for their storytelling, but I would call it art. So I guess that's sort of how I can relate to what it is you're saying here. But would you... Is that sort of how you would categorize it? Like, would that be a good comparison? Like, aesthetically, this is really, really special. Yes, it's erotic, but you're going to get a lot out of it just for the physical beauty of it.
I would categorize it as that. And at the same time, I think that there's this heavy focus on story. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that's appropriate all the time.
Really? Okay. That's interesting. So, if you're watching something that necessarily... So, in other words, the story doesn't have to engage you. Other elements can make up for the fact that you don't really care that much about the story.
Yes.
Okay.
In so many words, yes. Take Hitamari's sketch. there's no real dynamic plot going on throughout the entire anime. It's basically about a show about girls doing shit, but it's aesthetically pleasing. It has that sort of, it's the type of anime, iyashike is the term that is used to describe that type of anime. It's soothing, it's healing, it puts you in a good mood, and that's the purpose of that anime. It's not so much to tell an overarching dynamic story. It's just supposed to give you something nice to look at and be cute and put you in a nice soothing mindset.
You know, and I've heard that argument before, but it doesn't come up that often anymore. I don't think I've heard that one in a while. I can certainly agree with that, but for me, you know, cute girls doing cute things doesn't put me in a relaxed or soothing mindset. I get annoyed because the story's not going anywhere and these characters aren't doing anything, and what's going on? Like, you know,
obviously that stuff's not for you.
Yeah. Well, absolutely. But do you think that this content is so specialized and so geared at a particular audience that critics like me shouldn't even be talking about it?
I don't think you should be talking about anything. You can talk about whatever you want. But what I think is that some shows should be evaluated based on how well they do what they do, not so much what they do. And in Hidemari's sketch, what it does is not tell a story. And what it should be evaluated on is how well it can move through not telling a story.
So it would be kind of like saying, like, well, you know, I went to see Fast and Furious 6, and there wasn't much rumination in there on the relationship of man to God, so this movie fails. Like, right. That would be an idiotic thing to say.
Yeah.
So what you're saying is basically, like, it's kind of idiotic to say, like, hey, this show about cute girls doing cute things doesn't fucking go anywhere. Of course it's not going to go anywhere. It's a show about cute girls doing cute things.
Exactly.
No, I see your point. I see your point. Yeah. I guess I see your point on that one. I guess that's kind of why I stopped reviewing cute girls do cute shit shows, because that's all they are, and they serve that particular purpose, and then that's it. And I find that to be, I don't know, like, I'm not a fan of that material, so there's kind of no point in me even looking at it. And that's why we have critics who do like that kind of thing, so they
right.
will talk about it. Okay, so that's interesting. Do you think that there's room for voices like mine and anyone else, you know, who might be, you know, have similar tastes to me, where we're not really into the moe stuff? Do you think there's space for voices like ours, or should we just cede it to people who already like it and are already going to basically give it positive marks for having these traits?
I think that there's room for your voice. There's room for the rest of the voice of people who are not necessarily fans of moe. I think there's room for everyone. I just think that everyone should get a chance to speak and say their piece. And I think that the discussion should be civil.
No, I agree with you. I agree with you on that one.
So I do think your input is valuable, Zach.
News to me.
I do appreciate your input. Now, I might not like it all the time, but I appreciate the discussion.
Sure. So what do you think the ultimately, you know, you've got this task force moe site, and it's pretty militant about, you know, you call people like me the anti-moe brigade. What do you think the solution is? What would make you happy?
Just talk about it. Talk about it. Have a discussion about it. Understand each other. Come to an understanding about why people like me watch anime, why people like you watch anime, why people like Jim Bob watch anime. Right. Just understand each other and why we're all in the in fans of this medium that we all love.
Right. Well, I you know, I that sounds great. That sounds great. I guess from my perspective, the Moe stuff, it does often feel like it's taken, it makes so much money that it's taken over a segment of the industry to the point where it's hard to get a quality production that doesn't have, here's a tsundere girl with glasses or whatever. Like, it's hard to get away from that stuff, and I don't necessarily want, like, I don't like fake girlfriend. I just don't like that character type. I don't like the, hey, don't you want to buy a figure of this girl? Like, it doesn't appeal to me. So when I see it in something, it's a distraction. So maybe that's just me being old-fashioned and wanting things to be my way. Maybe that's closed-minded. I don't know. But it is.
I just think that's a preference.
Yeah. I don't know.
I think it's a preference. I think it's a completely reasonable preference to have. I think that as far as Moe being so successful that it's taken up a large chunk of the anime industry, I do think that Moe, quote unquote Moe anime, I hate using that term, but it, for the purpose of discussion, I think that's getting smaller and smaller. I don't think it's going to really go away anytime soon, but I do think that the percentage of Moe shows coming out has gotten smaller and smaller. But I do think that...
Well, is that based on... I mean, have you, like, done the numbers?
I haven't done the numbers. That's just based on personal observation.
Just sort of a feeling.
Yeah, just sort of a feeling. But I think that as far as it being successful, I think that's a positive thing, because it's really, as far as I understand, it's really kept anime afloat for the past few years.
Yeah.
And I think that as far as keeping the anime industry going, I think Moe will be useful for that, at least in the foreseeable future. And from that money that Moe shows produce, we can get all types of different animations that might not sell as much, but because they're also making the Moe shows, it'll be all right. They can make those productions because they're making money from the Moe shows. I'm not a business major or anything, but that's what I see.
No, you're absolutely right. And people like me even like say, thanks Moe shows for making it so that I can have one thing or two things per season that I actually want to, you know, really get into.
Right. And that's where the problem with people saying, oh, it's a suicidal business model or it's choking the anime industry. That's where my problem with those kinds of people.
Well, there's weirdly militant people on both sides. I don't agree with the, like, what you're referring to, and I'm assuming you've generally included me in the anti-Moe brigade. I don't actually agree with those people. Moe's kept anime going for quite a while. It's kept studios open. It's kept lights on. It's kept people employed. It's kept food on the table. And to me, that's more important than any sort of, like, I want this kind of entertainment or I want that kind of entertainment. Like, I want these artists to have jobs. And if they have jobs making, you know, a girl who looks like she's 12, who's bad at making cupcakes, and you want her to be your girlfriend, fine. That's fine. You know, you can keep your job. And then eventually maybe that girl who's bad at making cupcakes makes enough money for the studio to where I get Kids on the Slope or Flowers of Evil or, you know, anything else like that.
Right.
You know, your favorite movie, Redline. But before we get to Twitter, actually, because we got a lot of questions for you on Twitter, we have to get to it. You did write an entire piece on how much Redline sucks.
I did write an entire piece on how much Redline sucks.
Was that because you really honestly think that movie is really awful, or were you just taking a swipe at folks like me who really love it?
I do genuinely think that Redline is an awful movie. Not an awful movie, but I think that the hype was certainly disproportional to how good I thought the movie was.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think that it's a great looking movie, but there is not much other than that for me.
Was there any identity politics in there where it's like, oh, the guys who hate Moe love this, so I'm going to attack this?
That is the reason I watched it. But after I watched it, it became, no, I just don't like Redline.
Okay, well, fair enough. That's fair enough. Okay. Anything else for me? Anything else you wanted to ask me before we go into Twitter? Or
not particularly, no.
Okay, great. I think that was a pretty good discussion.
Indeed.
Okay. All right. Okay. XB Saint asks, do you think Moe and Lolicon have been merged in the minds of anime viewers and critics?
I think that they're often conflated. They're not one and the same, but they're not mutually exclusive. They're often put in the same category, but they're certainly not the same thing.
Sure. I agree with you. Okay, this is a joke question, but I do want to ask it. AC in the 715 asks, Ugyu or Gao?
Neither.
Okay.
I don't like Air. I don't like Kanon. I love Clannad, though.
Okay. Okay. Mike Toole, friend of the site, asks, why do you think Moe anime is under attack, or that anti-Moe fans want to destroy it, per your site?
I personally have seen people who say I want to destroy anime, but to a certain extent, I just think that there's a disproportionate amount of hostility towards Moe.
Okay.
That's what I perceive, at least.
Well, we talked about this a little earlier, where I felt like the response was sort of proportionate to whatever the attack was.
Right.
And you said that you were seeing that too, so maybe, yeah, it's evened out a little bit. Okay, Ribbon Knight asks, many women and others find value in non-explicit Moe because it focuses on female relationships. Is this a reason why you like it?
That's the reason I like some shows, like K-On! Or Lucky Star.
Right.
But it's not the entire reason I like Moe. There are several reasons.
I mean, it sounds like your basic argument is, I am not this one-dimensional stereotype or straw man. I am multitudes. It sounds like that's the core of your argument here.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that to a certain extent, Moe fans, the Moe fandom at large, is portrayed as shallow fans only looking for the next big thing with cute girls with huge eyes, and they don't appreciate quality anime. And I don't think that's true for really very many Moe fans.
But you wouldn't argue that there are vocal people who are totally like that.
there certainly are vocal people, and I don't associate nor represent nor even pay attention to those people, but there are certainly people like that. But I'd argue that the majority of Moe fans are actually pretty much just like any other anime fan. They like a range of anime, not just Moe, but a whole lot of other stuff.
Right. Okay. Land of Obscusion asks, any non-Moe anime that you really enjoy? He says, is there any non-Moe anime or something you would consider something that doesn't have a lot of Moe elements in it that you would like more than your average Moe show?
Evangelion is my favorite anime, by far.
Right.
I also like March and Successor in Nadesco. Code Geass is another one of my favorites. Despite what I say from time to time, I do enjoy Cowboy Bebop.
Okay. I think that one's the closest to basically not really having any Moe elements in it.
Yeah.
Little bit, but just because it has a sexy girl in it doesn't mean it's Moe.
Right.
Okay. Itoju asks, would you agree that Moe is sometimes used as a crutch that allows series to put less effort into being good, or it allows shows to be subpar in other aspects because they know people are going to buy it based on the MOE elements.
I think that when you're judging a show and use the adjective good, what determines good? Good for one person might not be good for another. Good for one person might be having a lot of MOE elements, and that might be a quality show for one person, but they're able to maybe ignore deficiencies in the story or whatever. But person B might look at this show and say, "All the story is garbage. I'm not going to watch this. I think this is terrible." It's all a matter of perspective as far as whether MOE is used as a crutch or not. I think some shows use a lot of MOE deliberately. Some might use it as a crutch, but it's a matter of perspective, really.
I honestly don't think it's any different from a movie having a lot of violence in it.
You know what? I would agree with that. It's not very different. The people who go to, say, the Transformers movie, they're looking for something different than the people who are going to maybe, no, I don't know, Inception or something like that.
Sure. Or like, you know, a Best Picture winner or something like
yes.
that. Yeah, something like that. No, I get what you're saying. And also, I think it would be important to point out that it's not necessarily the trope or the genre aspect. It's all in how you use it. Yeah. So if something is shitty and is just like obvious, like, hey, here's a harem of girls for you, pick your girlfriend, that's going to suck for everyone. Unless, you know, someone has really poor taste.
Yeah.
But at the same time, part of the argument that you're making, I think, does kind of invalidate the entire idea of even talking or discussing art in the first place. Because if it's just like, look, everyone likes what they like, then why do we talk about art?
I think that there is value in talking about why you like what you like and what sure. appeals to you and what you like.
Yeah, and I think there's real value into having a debate about the merits of something.
Yes.
Yeah, totally. Awesome. All right. Ruben Knight asks, dudes perving on MOE characters can devalue the shows for fandom at large. Do you think your site contributes to this?
Dudes perving on MOE fandoms. No, I don't think my site contributes to dudes perving on MOE fandoms.
In other words, if there's a huge outspoken bunch of, let's say, 4chan users totally obsessing over whoever from K-On!, everyone's like, oh man, like it's a turnoff for some people. Like they don't necessarily want to engage with the material because they think it's just about that.
If a person looks at 4chan, something like 4chan especially, and says, I don't want to engage with this work of media because of what 4chan says about it, I think that that person probably wouldn't have engaged with that work of media in the first place.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. I can get behind that. Okay, we talked about that. Bruce McF asks, and he brings this up. You wrote a piece on how Fujoshi are not the enemy. So that, yeah. I thought that was actually a pretty good piece, and I appreciate the fact that you were outspoken about the fact that the current tendency of hardcore otaku to shit all over everything Fujoshi like is really crappy, and there's no reason for that to be happening at all.
I hate that sentiment. And it's not even that otaku and Fujoshi are two sides of the same coin. They are the same side of the same coin.
Right. You both have a mountain of material that panders to you.
Exactly. And that's why I just hate that in the hostility shown towards people who are the same as MOE fans, just a different kind of MOE.
Right. Yeah, totally. No, that's good. You know what? That should be your evangelist message going forward. I think you should focus on that one because that would cause harmony. That would potentially create harmony rather than discord. But Bruce McKev asks, so if Fujoshi aren't the enemy, that begs the question, who is?
People who are nasty to other people because they like different cartoons than they do.
Okay, so me.
when it comes right down to it, what will destroy the anime is not fan subs, or it's not Moe, or it's not Aniplex and their overpriced DVDs or Blu-rays. It's hostility. It's right. People being nasty to each other because they like the same thing but differently.
Yeah. Personally, I think it's a much, like, when you're talking about what's going to destroy anime, first of all, like, anime's going to continue to exist. It's a medium.
Yeah, I know.
That would be like saying, what's going to kill the film industry?
I'm more talking about what's going to fracture and fragment the fandom.
Sure, right. I get that. Okay. Invalid Name asks, are there aspects of Moe you think would work in Western TV or film genres?
Some aspects of Moe. I think that it's used very sparingly in Western TV and film. Live action doesn't work very much. Moe is something that really only exists in fantasy.
So you can't be Moe for a cute, real girl.
No. You can make an attempt to emulate it, and the Japanese do this with the idol culture,
sure,
and seiyuu culture, and you can see what happens when you try to incorporate Moe into a real person, and what happens when that person has to be a real person and the fans react to that. So I don't think it works in live action, but I certainly think it can work in Western cartoons, Western animated films, Western video games.
So you think that having a crush on like a cute celebrity, which people have all the time, that's pretty much what drives the, that and, you know, outright vicious hatred from internet forums is pretty much what drives celebrity news culture.
Right.
Like, someone having a crush on, like, Alison Brie or something, that's not Moe.
I wouldn't call that Moe, no.
Okay. All right, hey, just trying to further define here.
Yep.
Okay. Let's see here. Janie Deline asks, do you think Moe's focus on girls' friendships is part of why it's so devalued and scorned by large parts of anime fandom?
I think that, one, it's part of it is the emphasis on girls. I think that, two, is the de-emphasis on story. I think those are the two big things that are why it's devalued.
I mean, I guess I would sort of make the argument that it also seems exploitative. I don't buy for a second that, like, people are watching K-On! Solely because they really care about these characters. There's a voyeuristic appeal to that show I think a lot of people have a voyeuristic appeal to that show. And it's like, oh, these cute girls, they like each other so much, and you're kind of like, sometimes it feels like you're watching from the bushes. You know, you got your binoculars and it's a little creepy.
I don't see it that way at all. I think
so
that
you're not putting yourself into the situation.
No, not at all.
It's not a voyeuristic
a complete thing. Removal of basically a complete removal of the viewer as an agent in what is going on in the show.
Okay. So the attraction to those characters then in a Moe fashion, you are totally removed from it? Like, you as a person, you totally psychologically remove yourself out of that situation?
When I'm watching the show, I'm not there at all. I'm not watching these girls do it. That's just going on in the show. It's not me watching them. It's that happening within the context of the show.
Right.
As far as being Moe for a particular girl, that yeah, that's certainly me inserting myself into that fantasy. But that's not part of the show.
Okay. So that's separate, like, doujinshi culture.
Yes.
So the act of watching the show is, in your mind, completely separate from the doujinshi culture.
Yeah.
Okay.
Especially for K-On. The doujinshis for K-On it is notorious for having really, really disgusting doujinshi.
Well, sure. I mean... Most popular shows that feature little girls have hideous... I'm told have really hideous doujinshi. Okay. That's a two-parter. Hang on. Duck Nuts asks... Gotta love these handles. As a moe fan, what are the qualifications of a good moe anime versus a bad one? Can an anime fail at being moe in your eyes?
All right, to me, anime is not moe. Moe is... It's not a genre. It's not a quality of anime. It's a quality of characters. So, with that said, a show utilizing moe well is having characters that appeal to me on an emotional level, characters that can extract that euphoric emotion I mentioned earlier. You have to have those characters. You have to have a good art style, because if it's not appealing to me visually, it's basically wasting all the moe you put in. It has to have something to get me into it, be that a story or the girls with guns thing that'll get me into it. But it's got to have a hook. It's got to have something in there. And if it does, if it has one element but not the other two, then it's not going to do it for me. If it just has a bunch of cute girls running around and there's nothing to bring me in, to draw me into that world, to give me something to look at other than these cute girls, then I'm probably not going to, it's not going to appeal to me. I'm not going to watch it.
Itoju asks, how does one rationalize the appreciation of the moe descriptor to both shows that trade in cute youthful innocence and shows that overtly sexualize characters for viewer wish fulfillment? Is it just about art style regardless of content?
I think that there are differences and there are degrees to how far you can get involved with a character, how far you involve yourself. I think that to a certain extent, moe is sexual. To a certain extent, at certain points in time with certain characters and in certain shows. But not all of it is. And I think that a lot of people conflate moe and sexuality. They are two things that occur at the same time sometimes, but they are not one in the same.
So you think it's being reductive to say, oh, you're moe for her, that means you want to fuck her.
Exactly.
Okay, gotcha. Okay. Real quick, for a second. Yeah, sure.
There's actually, within the moe fandom, there's actually somewhat of a debate between how sexual moe is inherently and whether sex occurs at the same time or whether it is part of moe when it is occurring. And that's a debate that I'm actually looking at right now in the post I'm doing for Task Force Moe.
That's very interesting to me. Like, when you described the fact that you consider doujinshi culture to be completely different from, and that's a blanket term, like the idea of having sexual fantasies about these characters to be completely separate from the act of watching the show itself. To me, that helps me understand your mindset a lot more.
Yeah.
And it helps me figure out, I have my own ideas about whether or not those two are commingling more than you're saying. But that helps me understand why it is somebody would make the argument that, like, look, I'm moe for this girl, but it's not about sex. I own all this doujinshi of her, but it's not about sex. You know, I have this filthy hug pillow, but it's not about sex. Like... You know, not to be too crass or anything, but it's been very difficult for me to understand that mindset. And your description of it at least helps me figure out where that's coming from.
Right.
And I think it'll help some people too. So, whether or not I agree with it is one thing or another. But anyway, so, okay. Ruben Knight asks, dudes hanging out in anime considered artistic and moving. Moe shows of girls doing the same are called stupid and pointless. Do you think that some fans... Wait, these two questions don't connect. I guess the first one was a statement, the second one's a question. Ribbon Knight asks, do you think that some fans over-sexualizing characters contributes to dismissive fans not examining their own misogyny?
Oh, well, I'm not sure where that's coming from at all.
Yeah, that's a weird thing. So I guess... Oh, okay. No, okay, so that is a two-parter. So he's saying that I guess there's this blanket assumption that everyone loves, critics love shows where it's just dudes hanging out and doing nothing, but shows where it's girls hanging out and doing nothing are called stupid and pointless, which I don't... I think your premise is flawed, bro. I don't even... That's not true. And I guess he's saying that it's misogynistic to hate on cute girls doing cute things shows, which, to answer that myself, it's not misogynistic to be bored by cute girls doing cute things.
Yeah, it's not sexist to have a preference.
Yeah. Yes, sir. You're right. Okay, Prozis Roses asks, has Moe or when does Moe become too creepy or pedophilic for you? Does it ever?
Well, first of all, Moe, nothing is pedophilic but pedophilia.
Sure.
As for Moe being creepy, there are certain Moe characters, quote-unquote, I don't find them Moe, but there are certain characters constructed to be Moe that I find sort of creepy. Rei Ayanami, ISA from Oreimo, but... It, to a certain extent, certain archetypes, when they're constructed in a certain way, are creepy to me. The Yandere archetype, when it's not constructed properly, it's creepy to me. It turns me off. It pushes me away.
Okay. Okay. I want to ask this. You're going to think it's a troll question. I don't think it is. but I do want to ask this because I'm curious about your feelings on it. Emma Bowers asks, is the notion of a woman who is confident and capable something that scares or upsets you?
No.
Okay.
If that might be a troll question. If it is a legitimate question, I think it's a dumb question.
Okay, great. Oh, so you think it's a stupid question to ask.
I think it's a dumb question. I think it's a very leading question. I think it's the kind of question you ask when you want to get a certain response out of somebody that you're looking for.
Oh, you mean like the questions you asked me... Why do I hate you so much, and why do I suck so bad?
Exactly.
So it's like that.
The question was not why do you suck so bad, is why do you write no value-added content to the preview guide?
Not asking why you suck, but... I can give you the numbers on why that shit is value-added content. you know, those reviews, I write them, you know, they're jokey, but that is how I feel. Like, it's a joke, but I don't think it has no value. I know you think it doesn't have any value, but I think it entertains people, and I think that's my actual opinion. So,
I do understand it's your actual opinion. My thing is, when I look at something like the preview guide, and what I'm looking for is impressions on a show. What I'm not looking for is humor, and I think that's where my disconnect is.
Well, so do you? Okay, so do you just not read anyone else?
Oh, I read everyone's. But
my thing is just a sticking point. Like, you just don't think it should be in there at all.
Okay, here's my issue. If all of your reviews were jokes, I wouldn't have a problem. If all of your reviews were actual legitimate, I wouldn't have a problem.
Well, they are all legitimate.
But what I'm saying is, if they were all written in the same way that, say, the one you wrote for Flowers of Evil.
Sure.
They were all written in that way, I wouldn't have a problem. If they were all jokes, I wouldn't have a problem.
It's the tone, inconsistency of tone.
It's the inconsistency of tone, and it's the fact that the perception to me is that you see something like Dead Alive, and not saying it's good, not saying it's whatever, but you see something like Dead Alive, and you watch it, and and then what comes out is this joke review. And to me, it looks like you haven't given the show a fair shake.
And to me, that's like saying review the latest Terrence Malick film in the same way that you review Scooby-Doo 3. That, to me, is what you're saying. That I have to take everything equally seriously. And I don't. And no reviewer does. Some stuff is trash that doesn't deserve to be taken seriously, in my opinion. Some stuff is, that does deserve to be taken seriously. I don't think everything deserves to be taken seriously. I just don't. It's entertainment.
All right, and that's where our disconnect is, because sure. I do think everything deserves to be taken seriously.
Okay.
At some point.
Well, it's okay to joke
about stuff. It's all right to if you think a show is garbage, it's all right to joke about it. But at some point, I do want it taken seriously.
I understand that, and that's just an editorial disagreement. It's nothing more than that. It's not like, you know, when I write jokey reviews, I'm not trying to say, like, anyone who likes this is a fucking dummy. Like, that's not what I'm saying.
Right.
But I do try to make it funny if I'm not taking it seriously. And that's just an editorial disagreement. That's just how I do things versus how you would do things. And
right.
Doesn't mean anything, excuse me, more than that. Okay. Vinny Av AGC asks, Mecha was everywhere at one point. Moe is everywhere now. Is this just a trend that doesn't jibe with classic U.S. fandom? So I guess he means old-timers, like me.
Go ahead.
No, that's sort of the question.
That's it. I think to a certain extent it is that. I think that... So we very recently basically caught up with the Japanese anime industry. And we're able to watch new anime as it comes out, what, like 24 hours after it comes out, even sooner?
Now, Digisubs have been around for over 10 years. Like, we caught up with them. In terms of piracy, we caught up with them 10, 15 years ago.
Oh, what I'm talking about is the legit stuff.
Legit stuff
like
Crunchyroll. Yeah. 3 or 4 years,
So, we've caught up at a very moe-heavy time, and I think that caused some culture shock for some people. Because previous to that, we were basically surviving off of the older stuff that Japan made. And now we're able to watch all this new stuff, and it seems to some people like this new stuff is just basically all moe, and that's caused a culture shock to some people.
I understand. Okay. All right. All Things Action asks, don't you think that the legions of moe fans only showing support for archetypal designs and personalities stifles creativity?
No, because other stuff still comes out, and
it does. You're right.
Yeah, and the moe stuff, it's supporting the anime industry, so other stuff can come out. So the legions of moe fans supporting this stuff is actually supporting creativity as well.
Sure. Related to that, Sweet Mercury asks, I guess I need to paraphrase this one a little bit. He opens with, why do you feel persecuted when the animation industry of an entire country is generally catered to your tastes? I guess I sort of want to rephrase that a little bit. Do you honestly feel persecuted?
No, I don't honestly feel persecuted.
Okay. But it sounds like you feel like the amount of anime that's being produced for your specific tastes is diminishing over time.
It is diminishing over time. And I'm not sad about that. I'm not angry about it. I'm not anything about it. That's just happens within an industry.
It's just an observation.
Yes.
Okay. All right. This is sort of a funny question. Kid Tick asks, when you break it down, could Girls in Panzer actually be the greatest show of all time?
Not the greatest show of all time. I will be disappointed if it's not remembered, because it was a really good anime. It's something I think all action anime should aspire to be. Girls in Panzer.
Okay. I didn't like the CG in that one. It bugged me.
I thought it worked well. I thought it worked a lot better than it worked in something like Strike Witches or Vivid Red Operation.
Okay. Nemo Medicine asks, is self-awareness part of what you want from other Moe fans when you say you want them to be more analytical?
I'm not sure what self-awareness means in that context.
I would characterize self-awareness. Here's what I want from Moe fans. Just the ability to laugh at yourself. A little bit. The ability to make a joke about yourself. To not constantly need everyone to be laughing with you, and it's okay to laugh at you just a little bit. Because to me, like, I laugh at myself all the time. I don't take myself that seriously. I don't take my taste in stuff that seriously. I just don't. But people just seem to be so humorless about this subject. Like, I can't even make a beat-off joke without just getting 20 pages of people, you know, climbing down my throat, like you. It's just a joke, man.
I think the reason that they have this, well, the reason that we have this sort of adverse reaction to jokes, and the reason we can't laugh at ourselves, is because we've been laughed at for so long, or we perceive having been laughed at for so long that we're just sick of it.
Yeah, so it's sort of a, it's hilarious that we really like cute anime girls and we talk about it all the time. Ha ha ha. Okay, you've had your fun? Like that kind of thing?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay. MadShadow42 has a question for me. He says, what are some common anti-Moe complaints that you don't agree with? One, that it's just for pedophiles. I think that's bullshit. And two, that it's not a... It can't be a perfectly valid part of an otherwise good show. I don't think that it's the cancer that's killing anime. I don't agree with any of that stuff. That's kind of it. And also that the fans are all super creeps. I don't agree with that. Okay. Jerry Gomendo asks, why did you choose a military theme? Don't you think people take it less seriously than just simply stating arguments?
The thing about it is, if I simply stated arguments, I could be that guy. I could be that guy who just has a quaint little Moe blog, maybe a picture of a Kirino from Oreimo up on the banner, some tsundere with twin tails down the side, something like that. I could be that guy. I could be that guy just talking about Moe. Hey, guys, let's all talk about Moe. This is great, right? Yeah, I could be that guy. But if I was that guy, I wouldn't be here talking about it right now. If I wasn't that militant, sort of antagonistic, crazy, if I wasn't Task Force Moe guy, I wouldn't be on here right now talking about Moe.
Yeah, all right, point taken. Kid Tick asks... Sorry, there's a lot of questions. Do you think Madoka Magica or Steins Gate would have worked if they didn't use cute Moe girls as their tragedy bait?
I can't speak for Steins Gate because I haven't seen it, but I think Madoka Magica would not have worked nearly as well if it didn't use cute girls.
Okay. ABCB Tom, this is a joke question, but I think it's funny. which Disney princess is the most Moe?
It's been so long since I've seen a Disney movie. I'll just say, you know, I don't know.
Okay.
I'm not going to make a judgment on that. I don't know. I haven't seen any of those movies in years, maybe even a decade.
Well, maybe they're all a little old for you. That's a joke. It's just a joke. I'm just kidding. See, you can laugh. It's okay. You can laugh about it. Okay. Mist Optics asks, do you think Moe fandom leads to a condescending attitude towards women?
no, I don't think it leads to that. I think that if you look at Japan, it's sort of the opposite way around. But I think that moe fandom in general doesn't lead to any sort of real connection to real life. If you're a moe fan and you're condescending towards women, you are probably already predisposed to being condescending towards women. But it's the separation of fantasy and reality. And if you can't make that separation, then you're already predisposed to all sorts of nasty stuff.
So do you think that applies to the people that are, you know, make the argument that, like, oh, 2D girls are better than 3D girls?
I think that to a certain extent, those people are predisposed to that kind of thinking.
Right.
Or maybe they just don't have, they're predisposed in the way that they just don't have social skills.
Sure.
And aren't able to engage with people. And so they escape to moe as a way to cope with that.
Okay. Aaron Sarais asks, how would you compare moe and melodrama, given that the aim of both is instilling character-based emotion in the viewer?
I think that, like many things, the two occur in the same place a lot of the time, but they are separate. Moe and melodrama, that's something like Clannad, but moe is also K-On! Moe is also Hidamari Sketch. Okay. It's a lot of different things, and it's melodrama is one element of what moe can mesh with.
Okay. A couple more from Aaron Sarais. How do you respond to critics who claim that moe characters are less well-rounded and more trope-based than others?
Sometimes that's intentional. Sometimes a character is supposed to have one or two character traits. Look at something like Sayonara Zetsubou-sensei, where every character is defined by one character trait, but it still works as a comedy. It still works as sort of a social commentary.
Right. Okay. Again, from Aaron Sarais, would something like Clannad still work if the designs didn't fit the moe look? What if they looked like Satoshi Kon characters?
It would still work for some people, but it would not work for a lot of the people that like Clannad now. I think that the elements of the story they're strong enough that they would work no matter what the character designs are, but they would not work with the same audience.
Okay. This is an interesting one from String and Sonata. What's your take on women who like moe? Are all of us queer and in it for the Yuri bait, or are there other draws for female fans? And goes on to clarify that she falls into the queer and here for the Yuri group, and wonder if there are girls whose reasons differ that maybe you've heard of.
I think that women who are into moe, pretty much the same as men who are into moe. I think that especially Fujoshi bait shows, Ouran High School Host Club, Black Butler, Hitalia, and especially that one Kiyoani commercial that came out a while ago.
Mm-hmm.
I think that all those are also moe. I think that they are geared towards women. I think that they're women into moe. They have their media, and they basically, it's the same thing. It's all the same.
Right.
There's no real difference, no real distinction between men who are into moe and women who are into moe. Except perhaps the media they consume. And there's some cross-pollination there. Like, I really like Ouran. A friend of mine might really like Clannad. They're each has their own domain, but they mix together all the time.
Okay. Daryl Surratt, speaking of which, asks, while you repeatedly say you don't speak for moe fandom, to what extent do you consider your views aligned with moe fans overall?
There are some things I disagree with the moe fandom at large on, but as far as me as part of the moe fandom, I consider myself sort pretty much the typical Moe fan, even though I might disagree with, for instance, the role of sex in Moe, or I might disagree with some people on the attitude towards Fujoshi or the reaction to criticism of Moe anime. But I do consider myself sort of the typical Moe fan.
Okay. Scott Spaziani asks, and I'm curious about this too, why do others need to justify your enjoyment of Moe?
I don't think I really come off as wanting others to justify my enjoyment of Moe. What I want is people to respect Moe fans as fellow anime fans, and maybe people to respect Moe as a legitimate element and look at it like you would look at any other elements in any other anime. But I don't think people need to like Moe because I like Moe.
Right, but you're more than willing to have or to get into it with somebody that you feel is disrespecting the fandom or maybe doesn't understand the fandom.
Yes. Okay. So I have friends who like anime I hate and hate anime I like, and we discuss our differences in opinion civilly. So it's not like I want people to like what I like because I like it. Other people have different opinions. That's fine. As a matter of fact, that's fantastic, because that's how the anime fandom grows. That's how it grows in diversity. But what I'm saying is, I want people to respect Moe fans like they respect any other kind of anime fan.
Okay. All right. Boy, so many questions. Again, from Daryl, he asks, your blog takes measures to not explicitly name those who you speak against. Will you do so now? Who is the Anti-Moe Brigade?
The Anti-Moe Brigade is more of an idea. It's this idea that Moe is pedophilic, fetishistic, kill the anime industry, that its fans are sexist, that its fans are creepy, they're pedophiles. It's this culmination of ideas that are all heavily anti-Moe and offensive to the fandom. It's not so much individual people, and that's one big reason that I don't name too many people on the blog. But it's a collection of ideas more than any individual person or any individual group of people.
Okay. Interesting. So it's just sort of an amalgamation of, like, comments you've seen rather than this specific, like, oh, I can name this person, this person, this person, this person.
Exactly.
Okay. Let's see here. Ben the Bear asks, why is Flowers of Evil getting shit on by Otaku for being un-Moe when the plot demands that it not be cute?
I think that the one major sticking point with Flowers of Evil being non-Moe, and this was my sticking point with it, it's that, and with the interview with the mangaka, and he specifically said, yeah, Moe fans aren't going to like this. And my problem with that is, when you, it says something, like when you say something like that specifically, that Moe fans aren't going to like this, it kind of sends a message to me. It's like you wouldn't see Takamura saying, yeah, people who are way into like accurate depictions of the Battle of Britain during World War II aren't going to like Strike Witches. That's pretty obvious that they're not going to like Strike Witches because it's not about that at all. But when you look at something like Flowers of Evil and he's saying, yeah, Moe fans aren't going to like this, it strikes me as he's deliberately presenting it as a non-Moe anime. And that the problem I have with that is that why do you need to present it as a non-Moe anime? Why not let the show speak for itself on its own merits? And I had the same problem back when we heard that production team for Psycho Pass said Moe isn't allowed to be spoken of in the production of this anime.
Well, okay, I personally, like, okay, so this kind of goes back to something else, because it seems to me like your interpretation of, like, the diminishing number of moe shows is pretty exaggerated. There's plenty of it every season, man. Like, you get a ton of content every season. You know, fans like me who don't necessarily watch stuff for the cute girls, we get something like Psycho Pass, and I wasn't a huge fan of Psycho Pass. In fact, I knocked it pretty hard for trying too damn hard. But if the director says, look, this isn't for the moe crowd, I'm not making this for you guys, it's for people who like stuff that's not just cute girls, cute girls, cute girls, what is the problem with him saying that? Can't he have an opinion about his own work?
He can have an opinion about his own work, sure, but I just have, it bothers me that he feels the need to say that.
You feel like it's exclusionary?
Can't let his own work speak on its own.
Okay. That seems really sensitive to me. Like, really?
It might be kind of sensitive, but I feel like you should let a work speak on its own and not try to, I feel like it's trying to create artificial hype for it because, oh, it's non-moe. That means this, and this person's gonna really like it. And it's trying to create this hype around the show that it wouldn't otherwise have if the director hadn't said specifically that moe fans aren't gonna like it.
Would you feel the same way if someone came out and said moe fans are gonna love this?
And to a certain extent, yeah. Because
are you sure about that? I don't think so.
Why would he need to say moe fans are going to like this?
Because he's trying to sell the show. and he's confident that fans of that particular storytelling element, or well, not storytelling element, because you specifically talked about how moe isn't about narrative, but that particular element, he's confident that that particular element, people who really like that kind of element are really going to like it, and so he's trying to say, like, hey, you like the moe stuff? Like, this shit's going to, you know, it's going to do it for you.
Okay, to sort of clarify my stance on that, if the mangaka for Flowers of Evil had said, people who aren't looking for moe, people who are looking for whatever Psycho Pass is, or Flowers of Evil, whatever Flowers of Evil is, I haven't watched it, but people who are looking for this are going to like this anime. I wouldn't have had a problem with it. But when he specifically says people who like moe aren't going to like this, I feel like that's trying to create a false buzz around the show.
If I could be so bold as to offer my own interpretation of that comment, it seems to me like you're very allergic to any kind of negativity.
I think negativity is,
or something that could be interpreted as negative.
I think that certainly the anime industry and the anime fandom could use a lot more positivity. In the past few years, I've become really adverse to negativity because I just see too much of it.
Right. I mean, earlier we were talking about, you know, cynicism in production. And I think when you see comments like that, specifically from the director of Psycho Pass and the comments from the Flowers of Evil people, I think maybe you get an understanding of the fact that some of these creators are a little tired of being asked to put moe elements in everything.
I think that when you see the mangaka for Flowers of Evil and the director of Psycho Pass saying, This isn't going to be moe. People who like moe aren't going to like this. I think that's cynical. When you're saying that...
Well, that's an interesting viewpoint. The response to me was incredibly shallow and childish. Like, to the point where I haven't seen a response quite that shallow and childish in a long time. And if it's literally just the director said, look, if you like the moe stuff, this ain't going to do it for you. And that's it?
That's my problem with it. I think I would agree with you that just looking at the screenshots and saying, this is crap, this is garbage, I think that's shallow and childish. I think that if you look at the screenshots and Philosophy of Light, it's not the most appealing anime to me visually. I'm probably not going to watch it, but I'm not going to post up screenshots and complain that it doesn't look cute. I'm just not going to watch it. And I do have a distaste for the stuff like the comments from the mangaka, but that's the reason I have a problem with it.
Right.
And as far as just it doesn't look cute, I think that's pretty shallow.
Okay. Okay. From Daryl, says, you note fans should embrace the sexual aspects of Moe that a viewer falling in love with, thinking sexually about a character as if that character is a real person, is the mark of a well-designed character. Given that several Moe characters are visually prepubescent, do you see how thinking sexually about them as if that character was a real person can be construed as a serious concern?
I think that certainly if you have a problem differentiating fantasy and reality, I think that's a serious concern. But in terms of where sexuality in Moe occurs, you see, say, visual novels. You have a visual novel and characters have sex. When you're playing that visual novel, you're playing as a character in that visual novel. There is a level of abstraction outside of yourself that and allows you to interact with these women in the visual novel. And you're looking through a monitor. There's a difference between what's going on in there and what's actually going on. The character that you are playing is your avatar, but it is not you. The events happen through that character, and I think that's a major part of the visual novel genre as far as sex and moe goes, and it's a big part of the entire sex and moe discussion.
Well, there's a disconnect here, though, because the argument that you're making is the same argument as just because I play Call of Duty all day doesn't mean I want to murder people. That's sort of the argument you're making.
Yeah, certainly.
But Daryl's question was, using your own words, falling in love with or thinking sexually about that character as if they were a real person, as being the mark of a well-designed character. So if I think about the Al-Qaeda guys that I'm shooting in Call of Duty as real people, doesn't that make me kind of a weirdo who's kind of potentially dangerous?
You can think about them as real people, but they're not real people. If you actually start believing they're real people, then there's a problem.
So this is all just... this is totally just about fantasy.
It's just about fantasy. And some people use it as a substitute or a surrogate or the word's not coming, but until they find a real relationship that they're able to interact with a person of the opposite sex or the same sex, that they use Moe as a stopgap measure until that, or it's just a fantasy for them, but it's not real. And I think That's not emphasized enough, that it's just not real. It's a fantasy. It's lines on paper, lines on a screen.
I don't see, to me, that argument that it's the level of abstraction is that deep. I don't buy it. I don't buy it because it's a surrogate for a human being. It is. That doesn't mean that I really don't think that everyone who obsesses over 12-year-old characters in anime and buys creepy doujinshi is a pedophile. I don't think that. I think that that's an irresponsible thing to say. But to suggest that it is such a total abstraction that it is not the same as being sexually attracted to a human form that looks like this is false. And I do think there's a visceral thrill people get from gunning down terrorists in video games. It doesn't mean they're a killer, but to suggest that the level of abstraction is so deep that it's just not the same as fantasizing about murdering humans or fucking little girls or whatever, that level of abstraction just isn't there. Yes, it's a fantasy. Yes, it's harmless. for the most part. Worrying? Totally is. Says something about someone as a person? Yeah, kind of.
I just don't see where the final connection between it being just a fantasy and it's starting to get worrying is. Because
if you told me that you spend the majority of your free time playing visual novels where you are choosing from 6 different 12-year-olds which one you want to date and eventually fuck, and that's a lot of your free time, I'm sorry, like, am I just supposed to say, like, well, that doesn't mean he's... Well, what does that mean?
it means you spend a majority of your time playing visual novels where you fuck 12-year-olds. I mean, it's...
I guess that's the core of Daryl's question. Why isn't that...
all right, going back to your analogy with Call of Duty and gunning down terrorists and whether or not that's worrying. When I'm playing Call of Duty and I pull the right trigger and the gun fires, it's nothing. Nothing like firing a real weapon. When I fire a real gun, I have to make sure that there's nothing between me and the target. There's nothing behind the target that the bullet could overpenetrate and destroy or kill. And I don't put my finger on the trigger until I'm sure of what I'm shooting at. But when I'm playing Call of Duty, my finger's on the right trigger all the time.
Right.
It's there's a level of disconnect between doing something virtually and doing something in for real. And I think there's people just don't see that there are many levels of abstraction between something like playing Call of Duty and shooting a real gun at a real person. Because when you kill a real person, there's a psychological evaluation for that. It's not fun. It's not Call of Duty.
Right.
And that applies to melee. It's not the same thing. Like you see with a lot of these CISCON shows, the common thing is people who are CISCONs and people who like CISCON shows are only childs, because people who have actual little sisters, they don't see that appeal. But it's a fantasy.
Doesn't that speak directly to the fact that these are obviously human analogs and the level of abstraction isn't so deep as to suggest that there is absolutely no way in hell that anyone watching CISCON shows and enjoying them or getting really into an incest fetish could possibly be interested in a real-life incestual relationship?
I think that the number of people who watch CISCON shows and actually want to get into an incestual relationship is not that far from removed from the people who do not watch CISCON shows and want to get into an incestual relationship.
Or
if you do
these things in
real life, you are predisposed to already doing them in real life. Whether or not you watch Kiss Sis or whether or not you play Call of Duty and go shoot up a school or whatever, you were already predisposed to doing that in real life.
Right. Right. And at some point, you know, at some point this does turn into the thought police argument.
Yes.
Where it's like, you could fantasize about whatever the hell you want. So long as you don't act on it, I don't give a shit.
Exactly.
But I reserve the right to think that someone is a creepy fuck for spending all of his free time fantasizing about banging 12-year-old anime girls.
Oh, of course. But that doesn't mean anything about the person.
Other than they spend
a lot of time playing games where they fuck.
And it means that they and honestly, it means that they come across as a creepy fuck. They do.
Yeah.
I don't think you can deny that. To me, and I think to most people in regular society, I think that they do. I don't think that's deniable. I think if you were on a bus and there was a mom with her kid and you told them what you did with your free time, what do you think they would do? What do you think their reaction would be?
They wouldn't react well with it. But if I don't tell them, well, they know.
Right.
If you see the guy who plays games where you fuck anime girls, but you don't know that he plays games where they fuck anime girls, then he's just a normal guy. Any person you see on the street could play games where they fuck anime girls.
I think a lot of this argument stems from the notion that the internet makes it so that everyone just kind of vomits their id all over the place all the damn time.
I do think that's part of it.
So we wind up hearing about someone's sexual fetishes when we never asked to hear about them in the first place. And my attitude has always been, like, you can be into whatever kinky shit you want so long as no one's getting hurt or abused and you're not breaking the law. Fine. Just keep it to your damn self. Like, no one really wants to hear about it, you know? And so you wind up with a stigmatized fandom like you've got, where it's just too many people just being a little too open on the internet about, like, hey, man, you're oppressing me because you're saying I'm a creep for beating off to this. Well, not really. Why did you tell me that in the first place? Like, I didn't ask. You know? I don't know.
I do agree with you there, but I think that we could all benefit from being a little more open, a little more open-minded.
Tolerant.
To each other. Tolerant. Yes, that's the word.
I get it. Okay. I feel like you have just as much a right to talk about how much you want to fuck Kanoko-chan or whatever, and I have as much a right to say, like, you're a creep. Like, I think that those two things go hand in hand, and if you open yourself up like that, you should be prepared for a little bit of blowback.
Fair enough.
I don't think that's totally unnecessary, and I don't think that it's particularly oppressive or somehow denying someone's freedom of speech or something.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's denying a freedom of speech.
Well, people do say that.
Yeah, those people are dumb.
Okay. I'm curious about this. Exeter US asks, what non-anime otaku-related pop culture, if any, are you into? Movies, music, TV, books?
I'm not a movie guy, but I'll watch a movie every now and then. I'm also not a TV guy. I'm big on documentaries. I love documentaries.
So anime and nonfiction.
Anime, nonfiction. Anime, gaming, nonfiction.
What's the last good movie you saw? Last good documentary.
The last good documentary I saw was probably, it's been actually a while since I watched a good documentary. But Freakonomics was the last one I remember vividly.
You should check out The Queen of Versailles. That's a good one.
The Queen of Versailles.
It's on Netflix. Yeah, it's cool. A little Schadenfreude in there in terms of, like, people benefiting from the economy crash. But, yeah, no, it's good. You said you're not a big movie guy, but what was the last good movie you saw? Like, movie you sat down, you watched it, you really liked it.
Django Unchained.
Ah.
Well, that was the last one I saw in theater. Das Boot I watched really recently, and that one I loved.
Great. Those are both excellent. Okay. Well, I think we're going to wrap up here. We'll take a few from BioD42. We've covered this a little bit, but I'm curious. Like, the specific wording, I think, is interesting. He says, do you believe the prevalence of moe can lead to the objectification of women? If so, does that trouble you?
I don't think it leads to the objectification any more than anything else leads to the objectification of women. I don't think moe can be fingered as something that in particular leads to the objectification of women.
Yeah, I think the argument against that is that it's largely sort of one or two dimensional personalities attached to this just a bevy of female characters, and you're supposed to pick one, which one you want to be subservient to you. That's where that you kind of can't deny that that is a lot of moe.
That is a lot of moe, but I don't see it as an objectification of women, and that comes back to the fantasy reality disconnect.
Right, it's not real, so yeah. And the danger is when you start expecting those kind of behaviors from actual women.
Exactly. Gotcha. It's not when you start expecting them, but it's when you start being hostile towards women who do not conform to your particular taste. Having a preference isn't sexist, no matter how absurd your preference is. But when you start to act sexist because you have a preference, that's a problem.
Okay. Good answer. Tuxedo Cat asks, why do you think that moe shows are mostly set in middle school or high school, and what's with the fascination with that stage of life?
Uh, And I'm no expert on Japan, but from what I have read, high school is really the height of a Japanese person's life. And when these high school shows, it's nostalgia. It's nostalgia for something that never happened to them, but it's nostalgic. It's reliving a point in time, an era, a point in their life that never really happened, but they wish could have happened to them.
Yeah. I mean, not that it isn't totally prevalent in any other culture, but Japan is just obsessed with youth as any other culture is.
Yep.
Maybe a little more so.
I would agree with that.
Maybe just a little more so. But not much more. Anyway, that actually wraps us. I can't thank you enough for answering all those questions and spending all this time hashing all this stuff out. I actually really enjoyed that conversation, and I think I learned something.
That was very enlightening, and I can't thank you enough for having me on here, Zach.
Yeah, no problem. Well, best of luck to you. I'm sure we'll see you on the forums at some point.
Certainly.
Once again, the website is sheslostcontrol.net. Thanks again, Chris.
Thank you.
Okay, that's our show. Big thanks to Chris for stopping by. The theme song is Bucharest. It's by the band The New Division. You can check them out at newdivisionmusic.com. Don't forget, subscribe to us on iTunes. Leave us a little rating, a review. We'd really appreciate it. And we'll see you all next week.